Hello and welcome back to Game of Thrones Weekly. I'm your host, Ryan Malady, and today, in the spirit of the season, it's that time of year again, we're talking Game of Thrones holidays and traditions, from the festivals in Highgarden to the great games in Slaver's Bay, from name days to funerals. Let's dive right in, as is tradition.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yes. I feel like, you know, the Game of Thrones theme song is, it honestly is like a Christmas song to my ears. Like, it has bells, almost. It has the whole symphony orchestra, or Hanukkah music. I don't know, traditionally what Hanukkah music sounds like, but Jeremy, you might have to tell us about that a little later.
Pretty much just like this.
epic. Welcome back, everybody. It's good to be back here in the AfterBuzz TV studios to talk Game of Thrones weekly. Today we're talking... What is it like to celebrate holidays and traditions and festivals and stuff in the Game of Thrones world? And joining me for a second or third time are some of my favorite co-hosts and guest hosts. We have Jeremy Dan, professor of innovation and entrepreneurship at USC.
Right on.
He's also Jewish, so we get that perspective from that side of the table. is that on the resume, or is that just something I threw in?
It's right at the top of the LinkedIn, of course.
We have Lauren Shear, who we... belovedly call John Summer. Mm-hmm. We can't call him John Snow because look at them Goldilocks.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm too blonde.
Welcome back.
He has more of the summer complexion, too.
He does, and he's
not
more...
a winter.
I'm not fair skinned. Yeah.
No, you're not a
Wouldn't
maiden.
Make it in the north.
You're not a babe.
Not yet.
No, you're Gaston in my book.
Yeah, always. Gaston? Yeah.
And then we have a good pal, Ross, like a boss, sitting next to me to my left.
That's
Ross.
Me.
What are you doing here?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Neither do we. He just comes
I
in.
I just appear.
I don't know how he finds the place.
It's a celebration. It's a party. I mean, in the season. So.
They turned the lights on. I was in the room. I was like, oh. Wow, back again. All right.
We're glad that you have nowhere else to go. Yeah. Welcome back, Ross.
Me too. Thanks.
All right, guys. So holidays. Holidays in our world are, it comes from, derived from the two words, holy day, which is usually a celebration of a religious holiday. But in our world, we get time off work for our holidays. We have winter holidays, breaks from school, breaks from, you know, life. And in Game of Thrones, the world is just operates a little bit differently. Fundamentally, why do you think that is?
It's a brutish world. It's nasty. It's violent. People are still tied to the land. And for an economy and a whole civilization so tied to the land, I personally have wondered about this. I kind of don't get it because, you know, the winter comes irregularly. Mm-hmm. It's not like seasons, like in you know, our calendar when we know the sun is at its highest, and that's midsummer, and it's an excuse for Scandinavians to drink all day.
Right. Going back to, I mean, we see evidence that celebrations and rituals were exclusively tied to the summer and winter solstices and the equinoxes, which are indicative of, you know, the seasons changing and crops to be, you know, and it's time to celebrate. Oh, look, it's the longest day of the year. Let's celebrate it. From the Aztecs to whoever built Stonehenge. I mean, they were all really in tune with the astronomical signs and symbols that were headed our way. And that's kind of a foundation of our holidays. But in Game of Thrones, you're right. The seasons are all out of whack. There's no, like, every year... You know, we have that feeling of, oh, it's Christmas time. We're in LA, so we don't really get that feeling anyway.
How are we going to celebrate the longest winter ever?
It's like...
like, never-ending winter.
It feels like living in LA. It feels like the long summer, to be honest. It's just like...
Yeah.
82 summer degrees. Yeah. Summer is here.
Summer is coming again.
Yeah, but there's no, like, yearly expectation of, like, oh, it's, you know, it feels like it's... No, it's just winter or summer in Game of Thrones. Although, never really... ask that question of is there a kind of a brief? They always say winter is coming, but wouldn't you call that, like,
I didn't see a spring.
What is that called when it's not?
Is that autumn? Is that fall? Right?
I just saw, like, there's two seasons pretty much.
It's like,
why don't they say
it's
fall
winter.
Here?
Yeah,
yeah. Winter is coming. Well, then it's fall. Mm-hmm. It's fall. Summer's almost here. Should we call it spring? No. It's still winter.
Do they have a day down for, like, winter? They're like, oh, it's the next month.
No,
or
they
is it just like they wake up.
Probably
the maesters at the
send out the white ravens.
They send the ravens to say, hey, it's winter time.
So mm-hmm. So in the Game of Thrones, they don't have a calendar per se. It's just
they keep track of years like we do. but
whatever happened to that seasons. Year, it just happened. It's part of that.
And
year.
And we know they keep track of years like we do because every single year they have what's called a name day. So we'll just jump right into that. Name days are it's apparently it's your birthday.
Yeah.
It's your birthday because in the Game of Thrones world, you're named on the day of your birth. They don't give you a name until you're born. There's actually something that's called a name day in lots of parts of Europe, where if you have the same name as a saint, like Saint Peter, then you celebrate your name day, if your name is Peter, on Peter's celebration of Saint Peter, whenever that, I think it's like, what is it, like June 29th.
The
Feast of Saint Peter.
Peter.
Yeah.
Peter.
If you're Peter.
Yeah, Peter.
But the wildlings, they don't name their children until about 2 years after birth, because so the mortality rate's so high, so they don't even give their kids a name.
Well, plus some of them have to turn them over to, of course, the dead.
Right.
And you won't get too attached if you have to hand it over. They get renamed anyway when the nice blue fingernail comes down.
Right, when the night king comes and turns that baby into a blue walker.
All right, there goes
Doug.
Billy.
A white walker.
Yeah. Won't name the next one.
Do White Walkers have names? I mean, the Night King has one, kind
of. Yeah, I mean,
it's more of a description, but maybe that's how they name them, you know, like Bluehead.
So they're like the Native American culture of the Game of Thrones world.
Walking Wind.
One with ice.
Mr. Freeze.
Runs on ice.
Well, name days are fun, and it seems like the only people who really celebrate name days are nobility. Because I haven't seen, to be honest, we don't really get that much of a glimpse into the peasant world and lifestyle. The only time we really do is like right before their village is pillaged and burned down and everyone's raped. We just kind of get like a little window into their world.
They don't have a lot to celebrate.
Oh, hello.
It's usually not very happy either, so we kind of think they're like sad all the time.
Yeah.
Because they're getting pillaged.
There was a nice party in Moletown that lasted for like 30 seconds until the wildlings came by. They were being festive there.
They were having a good time.
I think that was like their Secret Santa party. I think they were, it was like the office party.
Yeah, probably exchanging gifts. Yeah.
That's
all
what
Peter's
it's like.
Hanging out together in the village.
Yeah.
the Hound was famously quoted as, "What a man sows on his name day, he reaps throughout the year." Basically, there is a lot of superstition in this world of Game of Thrones. And name day doesn't escape it. So you basically, but I've never heard that. Usually when it's your birthday, especially if you're, you know, a sweet 16er, it's like your birth week and everything goes. Yeah. Anything goes. You can just get away with whatever you want.
Yeah, it's birth week. Birth month, I've heard people do.
Is it
birth month? Yeah.
Is it birth month? When's your birthday?
September.
I'll be busy.
Yeah.
The whole month.
Okay. Yeah, September. Oh, look at that. Sorry. September? Yep. Oh, geez.
Book the birth month. Yeah. Name month. Right.
So name day is a celebration that we for sure know that everybody who has a name and celebrates it, you know, it transcends religion and region. And the other celebration that we know for sure happens are weddings.
Oh yeah.
I mean, weddings are like the only celebration that we know for sure everyone loves.
They love it. What's the saying? Nothing good ever happens after midnight. I mean, in Game of Thrones, nothing good ever happens at a wedding. So far, we have some name brand weddings: red wedding, purple wedding. I mean, those are the only weddings.
The white wedding is when Sansa got married to Ramsay Bolton.
Not a good
one. And
there you go. There's a good example. We classify as viewers. We classify them as colors, but those weddings all had similarities and stark differences. Let's look upon each other and say the words.
Stark
father,
difference.
Smith, warrior, mother,
maid, crone, stranger.
They have these.
Are we binding our hands together as we do that?
You bind the hands and then you put the cloak. You put the cloak on me.
The lights
put me under your protection.
By the way, that is the only other wedding we've seen, which was the wedding of Stark to Targaryen. That seemed to be just about the happiest, right?
Yeah.
It was more of a destination wedding. It was like getting down on the beach in Antigua or something. Like they wanted to be away from all those people.
Which one are we talking about?
So Targaryen to Stark, Lyanna.
Yeah, Lyanna and Rhaegar.
Yeah. In the flashback.
Oh, the flashback.
Yeah. But that seemed to be the only semi-happy wedding. Everything else ends in disaster.
Got killed because of it.
Yeah. That was weeks later.
Yeah, weeks later. The wedding itself was good. Yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing about Game of Thrones. If you don't get killed at your own wedding, it's a good wedding. I mean, that's how you judge it.
You can get killed 12:01 a.m.
Unless it's a Dothraki wedding, in which case... If there's any less than three deaths, it's considered a dull affair.
A failure. <It's> Wedding's off.
And there you go. On the West Coast and on the Westeros and Essos, as long as there's a death,
I mean, it's likely most to people happen are happy at a wedding. With it. Like, let's be honest, in a Game of Thrones wedding.
But you have the main religions. In Westeros are you have the old gods. People worship the old gods of the forest. Then you have the Faith of the Seven, and we've seen weddings under both of those. The Old Gods of the Forest, when Robb Stark eloped with
the Doc.
Talisa or something, I forgot.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So they eloped, but they... Old Gods and Weddings of the North... the North have kind of like a laissez-faire attitude about everything. And so when it comes to their celebrations, they're just kind of like, just have the father of the bride be the, you know, be the officiant and just, we'll say the words, but just tell her, just say, do you take this woman? I do. Do you take him? I do. All right, let's get drunk.
Boom.
Yeah.
Celebration.
Whereas the further south you go, the fancier it gets, the more pomp and circumstances involved.
All right, who's that?
You have these big feasts, you know, after the wedding. And usually they're having the temple or, you know, the sept.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the bedding ceremony, which is another ceremony which, you know, we can all relate to weddings. I've been to like four last year. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they're all, you know, they all...
I've been to... Four.
Yeah. Total.
What a crazy year.
Oh, man. Yeah. But the bedding ceremony, could you imagine? Like, that being a thing still?
Everyone watch this ceremony happening?
They don't. They take the bride and groom to their chambers, sometimes strip them down along the way, however drunk they happen to be at the time.
The people strip them?
There's no really right or wrong way for it to be done. But the main reason why it's done, it's usually emphasized when nobles are married, is because they want proof that the wedding is consummated. The marriage has been, you know...
sealed.
Yeah, seal of approval. And it was more important for that to happen because it ensured bloodlines.
Like, well, there's stuff there that's really based on parts of our history and cultures around the world of, you know, verifying virginity, making sure the consummation happened. There's a lot of care and attention that goes to that first... it is not taken for granted in a lot of cultures.
Yeah. And in Dothraki cultures, they just do it under the stars for all the Khalasar to see. You know, so they
want people.
It's
to
also
see
important. It's, yeah, they want it. You know,
it has to be death or sex, and they want to see both of them.
Sex and death is always the main theme in Game of Thrones. We have you know, and funerals are coming up. Coming up next year with the death ceremonies, but the most time we see people celebrating, it's either celebrating you're about to have some sex, let's have a feast, or hey, they just died, let's have a feast.
Yeah, it's like someone's already died, so they got that
life
out of the way. Like most of them, they're like
new life and
their
like,
death.
Hey, someone's already dead. We're pretty much safe. Yeah, they got the death out of the way.
Can't wait to see what the food's like.
I mean, have you ever been to what kind of weddings do you normally... You normally see in the modern day, you see a traditional kind of church-style kind of wedding. It's getting less and less religious nowadays, and it's more just, you know... But the ceremony will walk down the aisle.
Mm.
The groom's already up there, so the bride, you know, walks up when everyone's, you know, watching her. Because all that, the dress is so fantastic.
Right.
You gotta, you know, check the dress. The dress is like a huge part of it.
Yeah,
whereas Game of Thrones is the cloak. The dress doesn't matter so much. You never really heard them talking about the dress.
Yeah, they didn't say yes to the
dress.
Except
for Loras Tyrell. He, like, totally fantasized about what he was gonna wear.
Yeah.
Remember, he's just like, oh, you know, the brooches. Great. But I remember when I went to my cousin's wedding, my family's on my father's side. They're from Egypt, and they're Coptic Orthodox. And they, it's a lot of singing, a lot of like Aramaic and Arabic, and they sing it all, and there's incense. But at one point during the wedding, the they cloak each other, just like in Game of Thrones. So in a Coptic Orthodox wedding, you actually have the bride and groom cloaked in these, like, and then they wear a crown. Like, they look like king and queen for the day, you know? And they sit in a throne, and they tell, you know, and then it's kind of like, it's almost kind of misogynistic of a wedding, because, like, they make the woman, like, swear that, you know, that they're going to serve the man.
Who buys the crown? Which family does
it's
that
part with? Of the church. They bring it out. They provide the crown. They have it in the church. Okay. They have it ready to go. And then, like, when the wedding's over, they take it back.
Okay. I think we have some cloaking up there.
Yeah, we have Anthony showing some cloaking images throughout the season. We have, you know, Tyrion cloaking Sansa. We have...
That's Tully.
Edmure Tully cloaking what do we ever get her name?
Frey.
Just the pretty Frey.
Is it Rosalind? No, I forget.
Something like, oh man. Goodness gracious. You know, when you haven't binged the whole series.
She was Ms. Frey to you.
Ms. Frey, sorry, you're right. We have a lot of cloaking. And when you're at your wedding, you're king for the day. You can get away with whatever you want, you can say whatever you want, do whatever you want. I feel like that's hand in hand with our traditions. When you're the bride and groom, you can do whatever you want that day.
Like, it's your day, you know.
Yeah.
Do whatever.
I feel like the modern theme for any holiday or tradition or celebration in this world is a feast. That's what makes it a celebration.
Because means this world or the Game this of world of Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones world, because we can have holidays without feasts.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's
that crazy on Easter.
I mean,
Easter, there's Easter Sunday. You have brunch.
You gotta have brunch. Yeah,
really. Yeah.
Of course.
Fourth of July barbecue.
Okay.
Thanksgiving, obviously.
Yeah.
Christmas ham.
Yeah.
Hanukkah potato pancakes.
Hanukkah is one. Yeah. There's not a feast as much related to that as opposed to like Passover. Mm-hmm. Which is literally a feast. The meal is a religious service. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hanukkah doesn't stack up well. You get some potato pancakes and Hanukkah
so
gelt.
That wasn't just stereotypical.
Hanukkah gelt, which, you know, is the chocolate money candy. You know, so like Littlefinger, maybe he had some of that. He'd love that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
spin the dreidel, a betting game. You know, lose a dagger if you spin it the wrong way.
Life.
And there you go. There's another example of
that's how it happened.
Of festival celebrations. There's a tournament. There's a lot of tournaments in Game of Thrones. So whether it's a name day or a wedding or just a coronation or, you know, it's usually related to nobility. It's usually whoever can afford to throw a party.
Yeah, and a tournament is really what gets the everything going in the whole Game of Thrones series with the tournament at Harrenhal, which led to the crowning of the beauty of the tournament, which happened to be Lyanna Stark and not the real wife of Rhaegar. So... Mm-hmm. Again, nothing good happens
nothing
at these
good.
Parties.
Yeah. I know.
They're
crazy.
Barely holidays or traditions. I feel like
they're powder
they celebrate
kegs.
Getting killed.
That's celebrate just making it through. Yeah, making it through. Hey,
it's
been
a pre-party to getting killed.
Yeah,
is basically what just, all of these are.
Yeah, we're alive. We might as well party.
Like,
right?
I feel something coming soon, so let's just
all
quit.
Gather in this one spot.
Yeah. Lower our defenses, drink quite a bit, and just,
the drink, the wine.
They make themselves targets.
Where the beer flows like wine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they really have is ale, blackberry wine,
mead,
Dornish wine,
Arbor.
Yeah.
Do they have any hard liquor in Game of Thrones?
I don't know.
We should have researched this.
Yeah.
That would be a good episode for this show, is like a drinking.
The liquor.
And we can sample it.
Right on.
The drinking Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I should have came prepared.
Is that the January or February show? We gotta get ready for that.
That's whenever St. Patrick's Day is. March, I think. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, stay tuned. We're gonna have a drinking episode in a few months. Let's talk about Essos for a little bit. We have religions over the Essos that originated with the Lord of Light. You know, people worship the Lord of Light, the many-faced God of Death, and, of course, the Great Stallion from the Dothraki. We have a tradition that I couldn't really find much about, but it's where it's the child naming... is when Daenerys names her child, her unborn child, Rhaegar, right? I think it was...
Rhaego.
Rhaego. Rhaego. Yeah, Rhaego. She named him far before she was even showing, you know, and that was not indicative to the rest of the Game of Thrones world. They usually name their children when they're born, but in this ceremony, she has to eat a horse heart.
Yeah,
keep it down, and then she can name her kid.
She didn't end up having the kid either, so she just ended up eating a horse heart, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. She kind of traded life for death.
Again, parties suck.
Yeah. Again, nothing ever goes.
Worst piece ever.
Yum.
So that was one example of that. You see just a few traditional celebration elements in the Dothraki. I mean, they're really kind of a go by the seat of their, you know, seat of their horse kind of culture. And they just do everything out in the open with each other. There's no real exchange of value. They just kind of love to rape, pillage, and conquer. But there's not too much celebration.
Again, there's another one. We talked about, we know how holidays came about in our culture, and it's not just to get off of work. The ancient holidays were the cycles of the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. Think about the Dothraki, not tied to the land, not seasonal, not harvesting, in a land of sort of endless summer. I mean, that's a warmer climate. I think that whole continent is kind of as warm as the southern part of Westeros. So they would not have much seasonality. It's just when you come. Again, this is from watching the show, not the books. But you know, what's your rhythm of life? Getting some forage for your horses somehow, and then when you get to the next city to sack it and rape, pillage, and steal. Not like harvesting and being tied to the land and having a rhythm.
It's true. And I find that is all. Bring it back to, I grew up in Colorado, and that's very well-defined seasons there. So you very well-defined summer, fall, winter, spring. You could drop me on any day of the year, and I can tell you, it's middle of spring right now. You can just tell by looking around, you feel it. And I feel like the holidays are treated with a little bit more significance because they reflect how people are feeling throughout the year. Whereas LA, it's so nice. It's nice all the time. It's beautiful weather all the time, but you kind of don't really feel like the year is separated by holiday celebrations. It's not really there. So I could see, like, exactly how you're saying the endless summer could kind of deter any kind of annual seasonal celebration, and you kind of save that for something like a wedding, or if you have to, like, find a reason to celebrate.
Right.
Because if you don't have a cyclical annual event for everyone to, but
they've got to have something.
You got to have something, though. That's what confuses me. Is that, like, there should be an annual something, and that annual something happens to be for the Faith of the Seven. We have what Marjorie Tyrell referred to as the Festival of the Mother, and what she described it as, she says it's a great masquerade ball held at Highgarden every year on the night of the Harvest Moon. And because, I mean, Highgarden, they're known for their harvesting, so I mean, I'm sure that's a big part of it. But it sounds like, she goes on to say, attendees typically spend months working on their costumes for the occasion. It sounds like a Halloween celebration.
They probably got nothing better to do as well. They're just harvesting, they go, they work, they come home, they think about something to celebrate.
Yeah.
The next big thing that's coming up.
The Harvest Moon, we just reaped all of our crops, like, this is great, feeling good.
Yeah, we've got this huge party coming.
Remember, that is a land of more surplus in general. So when would you have great festivals and traditions and meals and feasts? It's, you know, if you're in the north, you're scratching out some potatoes and some turnips, maybe a little winter wheat.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the South, I mean, you have the grapes, the apples, make some nice cider. You have every...
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff. So probably even it was in the lives of the individual farmers that had a lot of surplus, as we know from Jamie wanting Bronn to take all their stocks and all their surplus from them. So they were probably richer, had more leisure, even just the individual farmer, that we don't get to know in the same way we know the North more.
Sure. They live a life of leisure, becomes a life of boredom. You got to fill it with something. At least we know that the mother, the festival of the mother, has a celebration. The other religious figure of the seven that we know for sure has a celebration is the maiden, in what's referred to as Maiden's Day. And I got this from Game of Thrones Wiki. It's basically a day which the maidens of noble houses are required to go to the Sept of Light. And they light candles and place parchments and candles at the maiden's feet in the sept, and mothers, anyone who's had sex, mothers, whores, widows, they're all barred, along with men, from going to the celebration. It's only the virgins, the babes, the maidens, who are allowed to go to this celebration. So basically, Ross's birthday and Maiden's Day. I did not plan that. It just came out. So we have Maiden's Day, we have Festival of the Mother, but that leaves five more gods that we don't have. I think that in this, we can go ahead and assume that in some parts of the world, at least, somebody is celebrating. You know, we have the father, the smith, the warrior, the crone, and the stranger. Somewhere in the world, someone's celebrating these gods. Do you guys have any ideas for how and which god is being celebrated?
Well, the crone is kind of a single old lady kind of thing. You know, in China, they just kind of, over the last decade, maybe decade and a half, I think, have kind of founded a holiday called Singles Day that's become bigger than Christmas. It's the biggest, like, gifting occasion in the world now. Tens, hundreds of billions of dollars, maybe, even, of gifting. So maybe with those old, you know, crones that have no one else in their life, that could be the equivalent of Singles Day.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
That's great.
Where's that at, Singles Day?
In China. Yeah. I was like, we got to travel. We should tell all our parents, everyone, to, you know, start gifting us. I'm getting nothing.
Yeah, man. I'm single as a dollar bill. let alone billions of them. Come on. No, that's great. I love it. Crones Day.
A Stranger's Day would make for a great holiday mixer party. Like, the meeting of strangers.
Just like a networking event?
Yeah, I mean, just like
Dothraki and then like kings and just random people.
Call it Stranger's Eve, because the next day, no one's a stranger anymore.
No, that's
good. Come as a masquerade.
Stranger's Eve.
Come as a masquerade. Everyone like goes and like mixes or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Then once Stranger's Day is over, midnight or something, everyone remove the mask. Boom. And you revealed
the Night King. I had no idea.
Oh, that explained the spear, and you killed that guy.
You know, I would just really, we mentioned the father as well. I mean, that's too easy. Father's Day. I just love to see that. That would have been really a great celebration at Craster's Keep. That would be really tender.
Oh, gosh.
Joyful.
Yeah, man.
Sincere. No, the mind boggles.
You think the White Walkers ever have the gender reveal? If they ever like, oh boys, what is it?
Well, they're all boys. They're all boys.
That's why their faces are all blue. It's like, everything's blue.
Everything's backed up pink. There.
Yeah, if you got one pink White Walker, I mean, would a girl be? If all the White Walkers are boys, they're all blue. If there's a female White Walker.
It would have to be pink.
If we're following the rules of the gender reveal.
Well, yeah.
A pink walker.
Unless you reveal like a new age way, like yellow, and then you're like, no one really knows what your baby is. It's like, you know, well, we haven't assigned a gender for our baby yet.
Right. Okay. Maybe they're trying to like get to other...
You get to choose what they're going to be.
Yeah. It's 2017.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love those ideas, guys. What about the warrior?
Every day is Warrior's Day in Westeros. Yeah.
It's every holiday.
Another warrior.
That's true. Yeah, survived another,
for my life for another day.
Another day.
Yeah.
Smith. You know, Smith, I thought if they were ever going to have a piñata, it would be on Smith's Day.
Take a hammer to it?
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Mm.
Yeah,
poor,
you just,
poor
you,
gender.
You get the local carpenter to like build like a box full of treats, and then get like the Smiths to hand out, you know,
hammers
and swords and just whatever, and just have them go to town on it.
Poor Gendry probably missed the last however many Smith's days rowing.
Oh, poor Gendry.
Out on the sea.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah,
it's Smith's day today too.
We have, so those are great ideas, and it's fun to imagine. But we have I have seen online, and I don't know exactly how, you know, I don't know if they're in the books or not, but every one of the seven gods have their own holiday. We just haven't seen them, so it's fun to speculate. Who knows, maybe in the next couple seasons they'll squeeze in room for one more.
Yeah, you know? And one final thing about that, you know, I believe all of the of the seven has a planet associated with them, much in the way we have seven planets that we can view. Mm-hmm. I wonder if those occur when those planets.
Or aligned. Or
yeah, we don't see sky shots really in this show, but I wonder if...
Interesting.
If, yeah, I was thinking about that. That, like, you know, think about Star Wars. We have those epic right, scenes of the planets and the sunsets and all.
Yeah.
Do you remember ever seeing a moon in Game of Thrones? I never...
The only time where I really remember them showcasing an astronomical event was when the comet came.
Oh, yeah.
The red comet. And I think they did mention that some people were having celebrations and, you know, in honor of it. Some people thought it was a bad omen, so they were, you know, doing their traditional superstition, whatever they, you know, whatever they do to, like, ward off, you know, whatever. Kind of like how Mama Stark made those, I forgot what they were called, but she was making it when Bran fell out of the castle. Mm. She was making those.
She was, like, weaving something.
The weaving of of the seven gods. Mm-hmm. She, like, wove them all because she thought, like, the dream catchers would totally help.
Yeah.
So yeah, superstition is something when people look up in the sky in that world. I guess superstition is something that kind of is stronger than the scientific inquisition that our reality inevitably
superstition up. Is like. I mean, is it like a lot of the stuff they believe actually like happens though? Right?
It's
like,
true. Yeah, it's true.
Really, superstition. Mm-hmm. It's just probably facts. You know.
You're right. Absolutely. Yeah. Because at one point, a wildling said, "Oh, a red comet can mean only one thing, boy. Dragons are back in the world." And she's like, well, "Totally
that's
spot
exactly
on."
Right.
Like, but like out of context, you'd be like, "Okay."
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. She's crazy.
Gronks and snorkel dinks. You know.
The snorkel dinks are very dangerous. Yeah. The red comet for sure means the snorkel.
I wouldn't mess with a snorkel dink. if anyone told me that it's a snorkel dink in there, I wouldn't go in. We've talked a lot about celebrations of life, but as we know, most celebrations, as Jeremy pointed out, they all end up bad. They all take a turn for the worst, which actually leads us into our next type of celebration, the funeral. Or as I have spelled out in the notes, a funeral.
The funeral.
fun for us.
When fun meets funerals.
That's right. So we have, we've seen a lot of different kinds of funerals. We've seen bodies, you know, adorned with stones on their eyes, which, Jeremy, the symbolic meaning is to remind us that we should not fear death because we're not truly dead. We close our eyes in this world and we open them in the afterlife, which is a nice thought.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a touching moment of Game of Thrones.
It was. It was. They have... if you have the money for it, you embalm your dead so that you can spend more time mourning them before you bury them. Up in the north, they don't really do too much of that. They just kind of like throw you in a tomb if they have one. If not, they just bury you in the woods.
I mean, get ready. They're all about ready to have their own party when they come back.
Right?
Yeah. Which is something I wonder about.
Mm-hmm. Well, when
the army of the dead,
and that's another way to get rid of the dead is to burn them. We've seen up in the Night's Watch, the wall, they burn their dead now because I mean they don't have really anywhere to put them. The ground is too hard to dig holes to bury you. It's kind of a practicality thing, and then especially now that they found out, oh, they come back from the dead, so we definitely got to burn them.
And they have their own rituals and rites, their own chanting of, you know, the watch being over.
And now his watch is ended. You know, so there's I actually went recently to a ceremony in LA called the Burial of the Unclaimed Dead. So 3 years ago, in 2014, there was like 1,500 people who died, and no one claimed them. No one said, I know that guy, or girl, or baby, or whoever. A lot of people. And after every 3 years, the city and county of Los Angeles takes all those dead, cremates them, and then buries them and has a little ceremony and kind of respects, you know, their memory with a celebration, a ceremony of, you have... like a Catholic priest, you have a Jewish rabbi, you have a few other religious figures.
Cornucopia of everything.
A cornucopia.
Just a general
of
like,
what? Which I found fascinating because in our culture, death is so, it's like I was thinking. Part of me was thinking, well, I mean, they've been dead for 3 years. They don't know the difference at all, and no one here knows who they were. So why are we doing this? Why am I even here right now? And I realized it wasn't so much for them as it was for the stable, the like, just our society, and it represents how stable and safe and secure our society is. Because if we don't show the respects of our dead, then who are we? If Los Angeles was just like, well, we got these unclaimed dead, just burn them.
Going twice.
Yeah, going. Yeah. All right.
Nope. Must have never existed.
Right. It's kind of. It's just a representation of saying, hey, life is pretty important. So death has got to be too. Right.
You're bringing a real tender moment to this show. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, when I first heard about this part of our city a while ago, I had a lot of respect for taking that. I don't know if every city does something like that, but that's, you know, it is.
Makes you think, like, wow, I belong to a society that has their shit together.
Yeah.
Like, I know that if I die and no one claims me, at least I will,
someone
I'm not
going
to
pray
be,
for me.
Yeah.
Someone will pray for me. You know, someone will respect the fact that I even lived in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an you don't see that in the animal kingdom. You see a lot of things that are, you know, you see mourning, but you don't see, you don't see a ceremony. You don't see tradition. And in Game of Thrones, it seems like most everyone who dies gets some kind of send off. Whether that's they are embalmed and shipped off, like Mr. Tully, you know, shipped off in a boat and
well,
cremated.
Well,
he
was
cremated.
Yeah, cremated.
And he was cremated. He kind of had a combination of both. He got embalmed and he had the coin or the stones on his eyes, and he got cremated.
He got
sent into the water, kind of like they do with the drowned god. Mm-hmm. That he did with. I'm just like spacing everyone's name right now.
Greyjoy.
Yeah. But yeah, the king Greyjoy.
Balon.
Euron.
Balon. Thank God for Jeremy. Thank God for you right now. But Balon Greyjoy, they just basically shoved him in the water. They're like, all right, what does dead men never die? And then
it is kind of amazing though. So we, you know, and of course we saw the Dothraki funeral for Drogo. But think about everyone that's died on the show. We've actually only seen 5 or 6 legit funerals. We could have seen them across every culture. We have Lannister dying. We have Martell dying. We have people from all over. We have Lysa Arryn dying.
Yeah,
we could have seen those in every in each of the kingdoms and gotten to know their traditions. Mm. I mean, but then again, they're trying to shorten it. It would have to be like 12 seasons if you wanted to have every funeral.
Yeah, every
every funeral. Could you imagine?
Might be the extra season somewhere.
I would have loved to see the Oberyn Martell funeral, though. No, you couldn't have an open casket for
no.
sure.
Just put a melon there instead, like in place.
But,
draw a little happy face on it.
Cut it out.
Is that a cantaloupe? No. But yeah, you're right. I bet you Dorne is a little bit more
Dothraki-like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dothraki-like, exactly. Yeah. Whereas, you know, King's Landing is more cold and sulking and like pure reverence. Mm-hmm. Some people don't even get the honor of a... Well, go ahead.
Well, the reverence leads me to something I was thinking about. You know, we inherit this story when the faith isn't as powerful as it became a couple of seasons later with the High Sparrow. And you wonder, like, if they had celebrations, were they all going to become like, were weddings not going to be feasts anymore? Eventually that all went away in a big fireball, but that could have really changed the way everything we know about festivals and funerals and everything happens, because it was almost like a reformation that was going on.
They're almost going to kind of degenerate back into even more of it, even though it seems like they're kind of in a dark ages right now. It would have been even worse because before the faith militant were, you know, eradicated, things were a lot worse, and they were going back towards that direction. I guess it's better to not be gluttonous, and you know, feasts are gluttony. You know, the guy didn't even wear shoes. You know, he's like, I don't need them if someone else can use them. So yeah, definitely feasts, any kind of ostentatious celebration would never have been allowed. But I guess we got, you know, Cersei to thank for, you know.
Oh, yeah, blowing it up.
Yeah, we can.
She brought back the fun.
Yeah, we can party. She puts the fun in funeral.
Like, who's ready for another feast?
There's a widespread respect for death, though. Remember when Daenerys crucified her masters up on the walls, like over 160 of them, and She just left him there to rot. And what's his name? Hisdar Zolorak basically came and said, hey, listen, please, can I just bury my father? Can I just give him a proper funeral? Can I just put his bones in the temple with my ancestors? It's important for people to honor their dead. Even Daenerys couldn't argue against that. And then, you know, you have people like Walder Frey, who threw Miss Stark's body into the Green Fork. Mm-hmm. Like just to let her thing. just in the swamp to let her rot. Joffrey let Ned Stark's head sit on a spike for weeks before they finally parlayed for his bones to be returned. So now Ned Stark can be back in his.
Rob Stark was defiled and a wolf's head put on top of his body.
Yeah. And across all cultures and religions in the Game of Thrones world, any kind of deformation of the dead is seen as just in bad taste.
It's taboo.
Yeah, it is. No matter who you are, where, you know, even like, even the Boltons. I mean, they flay and torture their hosts, but they always kind of find a way to bury them or burn them or something. So, I don't know. Let me ask you guys: what do you want to happen? What do you want to have happen to you, or what kind of celebration? I'll start, so it's not so weird. But when after I die, I think it'd be cool because of my Egyptian heritage. Sure, I'd like to have some kind of pyramid instead of like a tombstone. I want a pyramid. I think that'd be cool.
A huge one.
Fitting.
I want a huge pyramid, and all my co-hosts to be buried with me.
Wait, have everyone wonder, got to what I want.
Have
yet.
Everyone wonder how you built it.
How do you do it?
Aliens for sure.
Yeah. Are we your servants?
I said co-hosts. I'll just write on the tombstone and Google it. Period. What about you?
Fair enough. How do you top that one?
You can get your remains blasted into space.
I could go to the moon. My last wish: send me up there, just
pow.
Yeah, just blast me.
Zoom.
Like, get me out of the atmosphere and just send me in a straight shot. And
do you want people to party, or do you want them to like?
Yeah, party. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want people to party. I want them to sit there and think about what they've done. You
what
know who you
they're
are.
They're gonna kill you. What they've done. What are you insinuating?
You know who you are.
They're out there. It's like he's onto us.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, oh, they missed their chance at those four weddings you were at, huh?
Yeah.
They're like,
they weren't mine.
This is the wedding.
I feel like
this is the one.
I feel like it would be kind of cool. If like I died and my body was still intact, because if I were to die, I would not want my body to be intact. I would like to explode. But
okay,
all right. If I do end up dying and my body is still physically intact, well, that's like that's the dream.
I would like to explode.
I would like someone to put me in like a suit. Or a superhero suit or something. And with a cape at least. Put me on a catapult and just fling me some like just into the ocean in or into a canyon. Just something that just sends me flying.
I gotta write this down. So okay.
If you
brilliant.
Kill me I have to explode. But yeah, I would love to just get flunked.
Brilliant,
just
Jeremy.
In case you
any
get
last
cancer
words?
Well, I mean I just need to keep the ridiculous meter going, so I'm gonna say I think I wanna do it Frey Pie style. Say don't worry about it, I already arranged the catering and have all the friends.
You're working on the recipe.
Do people know that they're eating you or is
no, then you have a little video message that comes up.
like hey guys, Jeremy, we're all like, oh hey, look at that.
Someone looks down in their pie and it's
you
like
enjoying
a
the pie?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna let you eat.
Happy Hanukkah.
Keep eating.
Oh boy.
Like who's got my fingers?
The direction we have taken this.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, it seems like funerals are kind of the party to look forward to if you're in the Game of Thrones world, because everything else kind of ends badly.
If you have a funeral, you only have one funeral that comes out of it. You have a wedding, you might have 40, 50 funerals that come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like the same at this point almost, like a wedding funeral slash. It's like, we're getting married today.
Yeah, if you get a wedding scroll from a raven, just kind of block out the next few months afterwards. Mm-hmm. You're going to be hitting funerals left and right after
it's that. The Hugh Grant romantic comedy, four weddings and a funeral, right?
A wedding and four funerals? Is that what it is?
Pretty much.
Well, Guys, it was a lot of fun. We have to wrap, but that was it's fun. It's always fun sitting down with you guys and exploring the world of Game of Thrones as they don't really show us or write it down in the books. So we just kind of can speculate. And
they might have gotten some ideas of things to incorporate in the show from our conjecturing and our funeral discussion.
Without a doubt. And D.B. Weiss, you know, David Benioff, thank you guys for making the show. And anything we can do anytime to help. guys, why don't you go around and tell us where we can follow you and keep up with you over the holidays and until we come back next year.
Well, I'm on Instagram at Ross Like a Boss. And Mr. Shear over here.
I'm Lauren Shear, SCH. ERER. It's private right now, but you can go ahead and
hit. Ooh, la la.
I'm pretty
You're one of those guys.
One of those guys.
Follow me at my private page.
You can try and follow me. We'll see.
Oh, God. He'll approve you. Just give it a try.
I will.
And I'm totally cut off to the outside world. I don't want to hear from anyone.
No emails.
I'm in the fortress, fortress of social media solitude.
Mm-hmm. So go take innovation and entrepreneurship at USC, and you can catch up with Dan.
Get around the letter.
And I'm
That's Professor Dandy.
I'm Ryan, Professor Dandy. I'm Ryan Mallody. You guys can follow me at Ryan Mallody everywhere. And to everyone out there from all of us here at AfterBuzz TV, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you next year.
Amen.
I had to throw in an amen.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Goodbye. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.